Jesus, and welcome back to the Sisters Podcast. I'm Lois.
I'm Bree.
And I'm Jada.
Today we are talking about the importance of friendship. Who we are friends with and consistently allow into our lives matters to us more than I can express. Oh, I'm so passionate about this. Mm-hmm. The importance of friendship in your life and in your friend's life is just so unmatched. The Bible talks about it over and over and over again. Friendship is one of the best gifts from God that we have. And the Bible talks about it again, like I said, repeatedly in the importance of it. It will affect you. Will. 100% of the time, it will affect you in either a positive or a negative way. And you will be affecting your friends in either a positive or negative way. That goes both ways. And being a good friend takes a whole lot of effort and intention. I think of Proverbs 27:17, which we all know, iron sharpens iron, and bad company corrupts good morals, which is 1 Corinthians 15:33. So I think we need to really do a deep check first and say, well, am I iron or am I bad company? Mm. And then we really need to turn the mirror around. Mirror around? Yeah, I guess. We need to turn the camera around, sure. And say, our friends, are they iron or the accent? Are they iron or are they bad company? Sorry, guys. I'm from Alabama.
I think that that's one of the best advice I ever got from someone about friendship is kind of what you're saying, like, be the friend that you want to have. Mm-hmm. And so I never really lived by that until recently. And when I actually started being like, okay, I want to be the friend that, the type of friend to somebody that I want. And so when I started studying that and started reading scripture about what aspects do I need to have, all the aspects were aspects that Christ has. And so whether someone's in the church or not, and we've talked about this before, again, people in the world see Christ, the light of Christ in you, they just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so literally every aspect of friendship, if you would ask somebody, what do you want in a friend, the aspects that they would tell you are aspects that Christ had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so again, it goes back to reflecting Christ, being Christ-like.
And I think from the very beginning, God intended for us to have relationships. He mm-hmm. intended for these to be in our lives. I mean, Jesus, he had faithful friends, his disciples. And just the verse, obviously, God never intended for man to be alone when he was talking about Adam, which was about Eve. But that same thing can go with friendships. Relationships mm-hmm. of any type are just so important in a person's life. And I think when we share the joyous truth of the gospel, we're reunited by something that's deeper than blood mm-hmm. as Christians. And that friendship is so, 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 so deep and so important because we're founded in Christ, or at least we should be.
Yeah. I asked some Christian women that I know why godly friendships are so important to them. And the response I got was astounding. I was expecting maybe like a sentence or two from everyone, but instead I got paragraphs upon paragraphs. I showed you. This alone helped me realize just how special these friendships are by the response that I got. I wish I could read you all of them, but it would probably take up literally the entire time.
She was like scrolling through her notes.
But they were so beautiful and thoughtful. I'll read you some of them. The most genuine form of love I've found has been in the church and through my friends who are actively living out their faith. It's just a joy I know I didn't always have. Another person said, one of the hardest things in this life is saying no to sin, and I think a second close is battling loneliness. Both of those battles become easier when you have friends who understand, who are facing similar daily battles and can weather the storm with you. Another person said, they hold me accountable. When the rest of the world is telling me to do what makes me happy, they tell me to do what God thinks makes me happy. They are a source of rest for my soul. Another person said, the reason these friendships are so important is because these women are more than just my friends. They're sisters. They're my family. Being part of a sisterhood fosters a sense of inclusivity or belonging. Godly women should be with whom we belong. Mm.
I think we often have a misconception of what friendship is too. And I think social media plays into this a lot. We see on social media these groups of friends and like it's hard to not compare like their friendships to like our friendships. I'm saying the word like so much in the sentence for some odd reason. But anyway, we hear it. I've heard it my whole life. And especially when I was in high school, this was harder for me when I was in middle school, high school area. But quality over quantity. And like to me, it was like, I've always had a good, solid friends, but to me, I was like, why don't I have these Instagram group friends kind of thing? You know, like you see all these groups of friends. I'm like, why don't I have this? When it's not the same at all. And I was looking, when I was studying for this, the importance of friendship is talked about in Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. And I'll just skim through it. I won't read the whole thing. But it says in verse 9, two are better than one. Verse 10 says, if one falls, the other will help him up. And in verse 12 says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. So if you just have one friend and your friendship revolves around God, you are more blessed than the majority of the world. That is a huge, I cannot stress this enough. I'm telling you, friendships are just so important to me and the importance of them. But friendship looks different than you might picture it. Like for me, for instance, some of my best friends, aside from y'all and Lydia, of course, but is an 8-year-old boy and his mom. Shout out to Cooper and Kelly. But Cooper FaceTimes me pretty much every day. And he always takes my mind off of whatever craziness is going on in my life. It's like Cooper will call me and he'll just be like, hey. I'm just like, hey, Cooper. And he'll just like play a game with me or do whatever in the world. We're crazy. And then like one of my best friends, obviously, a lot of people know Corinne. We're the stereotypical blonde duo, obviously. But love her. Amazing. But this is where like really my dad is my best friend. And I'm going to try not to cry because he just means so much to me. There's so much I could say about him. But this poor man, I bless his heart. I call him at least 5 times a day. Like, I mean, just over, he never knows like when he answers the phone, am I about to be sobbing or am I going to be like just telling him a funny story or do I need advice or is he about to have to knock me in the head with some sense? You know, he literally never knows. But I couldn't do life without my dad. And like, he is just genuinely my best friend in the whole wide world. And yeah, like I wish that like high school me, younger me would have realized that friendship isn't this picture that you have to picture, like the picture that you have to picture that made literally no sense. This like social media picture kind of thing, which if you look on my social medias, you will see pictures of me with my dad. You will see pictures of me with my 8-year-old best friend. And like those are the friendships that genuinely just make my heart feel so good.
in the verse that Lois read, it says, if one falls, the other will help him up. That is how friendship is explained and pictured in scripture. And I'm not saying that when you're in the church, you'll never be hurt by anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But in the world, if you look at the world's view, sometimes, I mean, we know what friendship is supposed to be. And even in the world, that's what they want it to be. But most of the time, the friends that we see them around are the ones that do push them down. And they're left alone. It's like, I don't have anybody to pull me up. When really friendship isn't supposed to be, my friends aren't supposed to be the ones that are pushing me down, but the ones that are helping me up. And I have my sister, Bailey, she's in high school right now. And so like when I was in high school, I feel like it was a lot different. And I didn't really experience this, but I was more quiet and to myself. So like, I didn't really have a lot of friends or a lot of people that I talked to. But like Bailey will talk about things that have happened to her friends or whatever's going on or something that's going on in school. And it's like, that's not what friendship is. And that's what people are viewing as friendship. Like, are people in like high school, middle school thinking that friendship is just hurt and friendship is just where you get attached to somebody and they push you down and then you have no one to help you up. And it just, and like, is that the cycle that they think that it is? And it's really sad because in the church, again, it's not like that's not going to happen, but scripture explains that friendship is not that. And it's very different than that. It's actually the complete opposite of that.
So why are godly friendships so important?
I think these are the people that we choose to spend our time with. We choose to take advice from. We choose to let into personal parts of our lives. These are the people that we allow to have influence over us and like shaping us. Whether you like to admit it or not, your friends are influencing you. And like, you can have an influence on them. But if you're spending a lot of time with this person, if you are allowing their opinions to take place into your mind and to influence your decisions, and you are who you hang out with. I say this all the time. I have two sayings that I say all the time. This is one of them. Can't fix stupid is one of them. Can't fix stupid. Just, you'll hear me say that pretty much every day. Second one is, you cannot walk through a pig pen and not get dirty. You can't. And you cannot put yourself around these friends and not start thinking like them or start compromising or start taking advice from them. I'm just
Yeah. Fired it's kind of a random thought. It makes, you know how like every house has like a specific smell? Like it's like their smell. Like it's yeah. either the laundry detergent that they use or like the candle. My aunt always has candles, but she has like fall-y candles. So like every time aww. I smell their house, it's like a fall candle. Mm-hmm. Or like when I smell them, it's like fall candle. But when they're in there, they've been in there for so long, like they've lived there for so long that they don't recognize yeah. mm-hmm. that, oh, I have this like smell of fall that's in my house. But when I go in there, since I'm that's not my normal house, that's like the first thing that I notice. Mm-hmm. So like when we are in these friendships and we start getting used to it, and even if at first we're like, well, they're my best friends, but I am not going to say anything about some of the things that they're doing, and I'm just not going to participate in them. Mm-hmm. Then eventually, and it doesn't matter who you are, eventually it starts becoming, you get used to it. You yeah. don't notice it anymore. You grow and numb so to then, it. Exactly, you grow numb to it. And that's a dangerous game,
dangerous
Lois.
Game. Dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game when you can't smell your friends anymore.
Yes, it's very dangerous.
It just makes me think about, we hear all the time people who got in with the wrong crowd. Mm-hmm. When they initially got into it, I don't mm-hmm. think they're going into it thinking like, these people are going to drag me down.
Right.
These people, no, but over time they slowly, you mm-hmm. get numb to the smell, like mm-hmm. like you said. And it's such a dangerous game. Okay. I wrote down, bad friends can lead us into situations we don't want to be a part of, and before you know it, corrupt your good character. Mm-hmm. And then I had Proverbs 12:26, which says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the wicked leads them astray. Mm. The righteous choose their friends carefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have to ask yourself, like, what does a friendship do for you? Like, I'm not just hanging out with Lois because she's fun to hang out with. That is a part of it. Okay, she's so fun to hang out with. But when you're looking for friends, you are looking for people who are going to help you, who you can talk to, and who you can get advice from. And if mm-hmm. the people you're looking to do that aren't going to give you godly, sound advice, why are those the friends that you're choosing? Right.
And I think of, like, when we're like celebrating something, we go to our friends. If we mm-hmm. are in hardships, we go to our friends. And if it's asking for advice, if it's just to talk. But what, and when I think of worldly people, what's the first thing that in movies that you see that's advertised is when, like, they go and they go talk to their best friend, or they're celebrating something, they either go out and get drunk or they go out and do other ungodly things. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that's the way that they are, that's the way that the world says, this is how you are supposed to celebrate, and this is how you're supposed to mm-hmm. Deal with your sorrow. This is how you're supposed mm-hmm. to deal with your hardships. And so if we are hanging out with friends like that, then when we go to them, that's what they're going mm-hmm. to ask us to do. And eventually, when they keep on and keep on and keep on, it's like, okay, well, maybe I could just go and not drink. But then eventually it's like, okay, maybe I can go and like just have like one. And like, we're using drinking as an example, but there's so many other things that mm-hmm. could happen.
It makes me think of Psalms 1, which says, not even to walk the steps of sinners. Mm-hmm. And you're putting yourself around them consistently. That's I could say a lot about this. Just read the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and you will see the importance of friendship over mm-hmm. and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And like Solomon, for example, in Ecclesiastes, the whole book is about vanity of vanity, all is vanity, because he was searching for happiness and all these things. He had all the friends, all the women, anything that he could want. And his happiness, I mean, the conclusion of the book is the whole of man is to keep the commandments of God. And are you keeping, like, if your whole duty is for God, is keeping his commandments, then why are the people that you choose to spend your time with people who are not doing the same?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think when we do choose the right friends and we do choose those godly friends, it comes with so many benefits. Mm-hmm. One of those is the encouragement that they can provide to you. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'm just so thankful that I can have friends that I can go to that are going to give me sound godly advice and mm-hmm. are going to encourage me to do what's right.
I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. True friendship is encouragement and giving and expecting nothing in return. Mm-hmm. And I think Bree and Jada, y'all have both seen me on some pretty terrible days. But one day sticks out to me in Jada and I's friendship. It's kind of funny. It's not funny at all. It's kind of funny. At all, actually. I don't know how long this has gone on for. Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe. I don't know. Jada might know better than me. I was kind of in a fog. But there's a point in my life where I was just really, really, really struggling to do anything that I enjoyed, like literally anything. Mm-hmm. I would go to work. I would go to church. And besides that, I would be curled up in a ball in bed. Like I literally would do nothing. I would sleep. Like mm-hmm. wouldn't even be on my phone. And finally, Jada had enough of it. And so she came in. At this point, we were living together. So she came into my room. And she, if you know me, you know I am always cold. I always have a blanket. I am always wrapped up.
Well, before this, she made me be extreme. Let me say that because I tried. I was like, do you want to like go out to eat? Do you want to go visit some friends? And nothing.
I literally would do nothing that I loved. Nothing was working. I would do nothing that I loved at all. Nothing. Okay. Anyway. So she came into my room. And if you, like I said, if you know me, I'm always wrapped up in a blanket. I'm always cold. I love to be like comfy. She stripped my blanket off of me. Okay. Like that was bad enough. Stripped my blanket off of me. And then holds a box fan over me, like literally laying here shivering with a box fan over me.
She got out of bed.
Like the bully that she is, holding this box fan over me. Anyway, the moral of this whole story is that encouragement looked way different in Jada and I's life that day because that is like the encouragement that I needed, mm-hmm. the bully of Jada, but it's fine. That's being, friendship is being there for your friends on days like that and weeks like that when I couldn't take care of myself or I mm-hmm. couldn't. I don't know what the word is for that, but yeah, whatever. You get the point of true friendship would go to that extent for encouragement. Mm-hmm. Although at that moment I did hate you a whole lot because I was freezing, but.
Another thing that is so, another great gift that we can get from godly friends is accountability. Mm-hmm. Galatians 6:1-2 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
I think that last verse, bear one another's burdens is one that we talk about a lot. And we think of it as just carrying the load when things get hard. And it does mean that, but it's a little more specific. It's talking about sins or transgressions in this context. So when you go to someone and talk to them about their sin and try to restore them, you are bearing their burdens. You're helping them overcome that. Yeah. And that's one of the most important things that we can do as friends. That's why it's so important to choose friends who use Christ as their standard. Mm-hmm. A good friend doesn't silently watch their friends just fall into temptation. A good friend bears their burdens and helps them with a gentle spirit. This. Mm. My friends, y'all, other people in my life, hold me to the standard that Christ does. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the biggest blessings of friendship because it's hard to do the right thing. It is mm-hmm. absolutely so hard at times to do the right thing when there's people, good people around you, much less when you're surrounded by people who not only are they not doing the right thing, but they don't care if you're doing the right mm-hmm. thing. Do you know how hard that is? Mm-hmm. When like you said, the accountability of it, like it's hard to do the right thing even with at times when I have like the strongest support around me, much less like they don't care if you're out there drinking. They don't care if you're out there cussing. They don't care if you fill in any kind of blank. Those mm-hmm. Christian friends, they're doing all these things. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, why does it matter to them?
Yeah.
And on top, plus, there's a lot of times where they'll make fun of you for doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like we think, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to disappoint Lois. But those friends can help remind us, I don't want you to disappoint God.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's sad because you think, well, if you have those friends who don't care where you're at, what you're doing, they couldn't care less. Mm-hmm. They don't care for your soul. You need friends who care for your soul. You need the friends who care for your soul because if you don't have them, then you don't have that help to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm. And if your friends don't care about your soul, they're not friends.
Exactly.
They are not friends.
Not true friends.
Proverbs 12:26 says, oh, wait, I already read this one. The righteous should choose their friends carefully. That's not where I was going with this one. I was trying to go to Proverbs.
Well, let's put an emphasis on that. Choose them carefully.
Oh. Well, yeah. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Choose your friends carefully. Okay. Proverbs 13:12. Wait, no. 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise will be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed."
Hmm.
Let me just read that again. He who walks with the wise will be wise. This makes me so mad. For a companion of fools suffers harm is the version of New King James, but will be destroyed is King James. Mm-hmm. King James. That's powerful.
It is powerful. Another big thing is knowing that you aren't alone. I think we've all gone through periods of our lives where we do feel very alone. Making the decision to surround yourselves with godly friends can sometimes leave you alone because they're not always easy to find. That's why I can't stress enough how important it is to go to events like Polishing the Pulpit mm-hmm. and youth days and church camps. Building those connections is so important. And it's so much easier to do that today than it mm-hmm. probably ever has been.
Yeah.
Some of my very best friends don't live in the same town as me, but they still provide me with so many things that my soul craves. Mm-hmm. They pray for me. They encourage me. They're always a phone call away. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you don't have those friends in your day-to-day life, but it makes it a lot easier. Like, Brie doesn't live, I mean, she's not that far, but I can't just go up to her house and talk to her, mm-hmm. but I know that I can always call her and she can provide me the encouragement that I need.
I think it's a lot easier today too, because we have phones. Mm-hmm. It just makes such a big difference because you can just send a text. Like we said, we have our group chat where we will text in our group chat and say, "Hey, praying for you," or "Hey, this is what's going on in my life." You know, just like a quick little update or a call. Like, I have a friend who I call pretty much every day, or he'll text me and be like, "Hey, I'm praying for you." Mm-hmm. Or he'll call me and be like, "Hey, are you okay? Like, what's going on in your life?" Just mm-hmm. a quick update. Or if I have a Bible question, I know I can always go to him, mm-hmm. just stuff like that. So friends like that, that are genuinely caring for your soul and care about your well-being, because if they don't care about your soul, they don't care about your well-being, mm-hmm. for one. This is a whole,
but it's also time, just but. So encouraging to have friends who want to study the Bible with you,
yeah.
who want to pray with you, who want to help you grow. And yeah. those things don't have to be done face-to-face. They can yeah. be done no. on the phone.
FaceTime is the biggest blessing.
It is.
Yeah. Like I said, the 8-year-old friend lives like 7 years from 7 years from me. He lives like 7 hours from me. My dad lives 5 hours from me. Brie lives 2 hours from us. But these friendships, we can pick up where we are anytime we see each mm-hmm. other.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because we're Christians and because mm-hmm. we have that love in Christ. It's yeah. like we're bonded together. We're connected. Whether we like it or not, you're stuck yeah. with me, Brie. So sorry.
Yeah. Like some of my, the most encouraging friends that I have live far away, like both of you. And I have a friend who comes to mind. Her name's Reagan. And she's always like texting me like, "How are you? Like, I know that you're really stressed. How?" And she doesn't even have to ask like, "Are you stressed?" She just already knows.
Yeah.
Which, is that okay? I don't know. She's always like, "Hey, what can I do for you? Like, are you okay? Like, I know that I live far away. Like, call me whenever you want to." And she just always makes me feel like I'm so welcome, but she's so far away. But it doesn't mm-hmm. even feel like she's far away because we are connected. And like mm-hmm. you said, it's like being connected in Christ. And I know she makes me feel like I'm not alone. Even though I am maybe sitting by myself when she texts me, I feel like I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And I think of the song about what a friend we have in Jesus. And even scripture reminds us that scripture reminds us that even the friend that we have in Jesus, that we're not alone because he has also experienced the things that we experience. Mm-hmm. The first one that came to mind was John 15:18. And it says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." So it even like relates us in that way. And we can say, "I have a friend in Jesus." And it also is like, yeah, I'm not alone because Jesus also went through the same things that I did, or the same things that we struggle with today. And so especially as a Christian, it's good that we have these people that we can reach out to say, "Hey," and I know this one girl actually did reach out to the podcast and was like, "Hey, it's really nice to feel like I love the podcast. It's nice to feel like I'm not alone," mm-hmm. that I actually have sisters out there that mm-hmm. are, that have this like the same principles that mm-hmm. I'm living by. Like some people don't have that. And it's like, oh, like, yeah, I have a sister in Christ. Yeah. Like they're trying to live out in a world that the same world that I'm living in, and they're trying to and striving to go to heaven. And it's nice to know that we have those.
Mm-hmm. somebody commented on one of our videos last week, I think, and just said how she wishes she had friends like us because, like, it's so encouraging to, like, see us. And I'm like, we are your friends. Like, I know, like, we don't know each other all face to face, but like,
seriously,
we
reach out to us and be our friends.
Like, actually, we see, like, I will be your best friend.
Yes. We love each and every one of you. Yes. And we genuinely see everyone as a friend. Like, mm-hmm. we want that relationship. We never want you to feel alone. And we hope through this that it's helping you feel less alone because, mm-hmm. like, doing the right thing, like I said, it's never easy, but doing mm-hmm. the right thing when those around you aren't, that's mm-hmm. extremely hard. Mm-hmm.
The joy that we get from this.
Yes.
Psalm 133:1 says, behold, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell in unity.
Literally, while we were sitting here filming this, we had to cut out a part of this because I was crying. I was laughing so hard. It's like the joy that I feel with y'all is just so such a blessing, such a blessing.
And that joy can't be found anywhere else.
It can't. Although that's the only time I cry. I cry when I laugh. And it's literally always with y'all. I don't know what y'all do. Y'all and Corinne, y'all just bring out a different side of me. And I love it so much. It's just genuine happiness. Mm-hmm. Like genuine. It's in your soul, you mm-hmm. know? It's just refreshing to the soul.
That could be a song.
It probably is.
Is it a song?
It's where it's told
knowing from. That you always have someone that's going to be a listening ear is very encouraging. And I know we talked about prayer. And that's such a good thing, too. And then also talking to y'all face to face, I feel so much better when I get advice from the right friends.
Mm-hmm.
Keyword, right friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to make you feel better.
I think another big one is honesty. Mm-hmm. That's something that in the church, really anywhere, it's just hard to come by, like mm-hmm. true honesty. And I really don't think you'll find it outside of the church. I really don't think you will because it's hard to find it in the church.
Well, because it's easier to not be honest. So why would they mm-hmm. be?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy, multiple kisses. Honesty is a must in friendship. And this verse tells us that multiple kisses and no rebuke, that's an enemy. Mm-hmm. If somebody only has good things to say, they're never correcting you. They're wrong. Because I have many faults. Like Jada said on here before, we have a reel that's funny, but I was like, I'm far from perfect. And Jada was like, yeah, you are. And
except that's not what I said.
You said, yeah. Whatever. You said, yeah. And it's just funny because if, like, Jada, if I'm messing up, Jada will slap me across the face. Not literally, but metaphorically. You get the point.
Another thing is serving, putting others above us.
Mm-hmm. A true friend is a servant. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you in the interest of others.
Mark 12:31 tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. That should apply to our friendships. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. What friend do you have that's laid his life down for you?
Jesus.
And that's a friend we all have. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. If we do what Jesus has commanded us to do, he's our friend. And no one has loved us greater, but he's commanded us to show that same love to our friends. How can we show that love to our friends if we're constantly thinking about our wants and our needs mm-hmm. and our desires?
I think that's something that really stands out against today's culture, too. Yeah. We've mm-hmm. talked about the selfish culture that we live in now. But as a Christian, we know that there is no room for selfishness. We mm-hmm. know that we are called to be servants, and we know that Jesus sets that example for us. Mm-hmm. And that's what we should also be striving to be a friend like that mm-hmm. and to have friends like that. I think availability is a really important quality in a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's not there for you ever, then you're not going to have a good relationship mm-hmm. with them. Right. And we're all busy. We all have busy lives. We all, mm-hmm. but like you said, Reagan will just text you and be like, hey, praying for you, or just like the little things that, like, you can call me anytime.
It doesn't have to be something huge.
It doesn't have to be a long paragraph.
Yeah, that is so important. And then Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's huge.
It is.
I think the biggest thing in a friendship, which we just had a whole episode on this, so we won't cover it much, but is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not praying for your friends, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Mm-hmm.
The best advice I ever got on prayer and friendship is to pray, even if to pray for your friend and say, I pray that in all their ways today that they will glorify you. Mm-hmm. And to always have that in your prayer for friendship, mm-hmm. or your friends, whoever it is, to always pray that they're glorifying him mm-hmm. above all.
Loyalty. That's a huge thing in friendships mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and any kind of relationship. And a big, big problem, I think, especially for females, is gossip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you are stabbing your friend in the back, you yourself are not a friend. And we see that so much where I don't know if it's an attention thing or somebody just wants attention for throwing their friend under the bus or what it is. But that has no room in the church. That is no room in Christian friendships or in friendships at all. Proverbs 16:28. Like I said, if you are struggling with friendship and places in life, friendship, whatever, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, please study. Mm-hmm. We have no time for all these verses. But Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends.
Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he repeats a matter separates close friends. Gossip destroys friendships. Mm-hmm. It really does.
And a lot of times we try to use it to women, at least. We try to use it to connect to somebody else. Like, I know this about this person. Mm-hmm. And that's actually destroying relationships, not connecting them. So we need to stop using, when someone tells us something, unless it's they're in danger and we need mm-hmm. to, like, tell their parents or whatever, or tell whoever, don't bring it back up. It's not something that needs to, it needs to be safe with you. It's not something that needs to be used as the next topic for the friend that you're about to have coffee with. It stays with you. It doesn't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the Bible instead. We've talked about that. Right. I'm a yapper and yap with purpose. Catchphrase.
So I think one of the most beautiful displays of friendship in the Bible is David and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. In 1 Samuel, we read the same cycle happening over and over and over again. King Saul becomes jealous, wants to kill David, and Jonathan, his son, convinces him not to. 1 Samuel 18:1-4 says, and as soon as he finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. I think this is one of the sweetest verses I've ever read in the Bible. It perfectly describes just how special this friendship was. Mm-hmm. Their souls were knit together. Mm-hmm. If you have a friendship that you can describe like this, you know how much of a blessing it is. 1 Samuel 20:17 says, and Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. This is loving your neighbor as yourself. This is what it takes to be a good friend.
Yeah. So how do y'all think we can be more intentional with our friendships? First off, I don't think we need to connect more. I think we need to connect better.
Yeah.
I don't think we need more. We mm-hmm. need better, stronger relationships. Mm-hmm. By this, I mean, we have several people at church we have conversations with, I mean, weekly. It's like, hi, how are you? It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. When are we going to get deep?
Yeah.
Because, like, if we're not close to our brothers and sisters, they're going to somebody else for that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has deep connections. Everybody mm-hmm. has somebody that they go to. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, your friends, the people you go to for advice, for support, whatever. And if that's not in the church, you need to work on being that person for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Get deep. Actually have deep conversations, which I don't think we do as much today as we should.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, if our brother and sister has a sin problem or has a huge stumbling block, something that's keeping them from God, and we don't know about it, we're not helping them, nobody is.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is, because they're not getting that help from the world, I'll tell you that.
And we should be someone that our friends feel comfortable with, mm-hmm. and that's connecting deeper. If our friends don't even feel comfortable telling us their struggles, we're not really being the kind of friend that we should be.
Yeah.
I think we need to be better at not showing our highlight reels, mm-hmm. like the keeping our happy faces on and stuff like that, because the more vulnerable we are, the more vulnerable people are going to be with us mm-hmm. too. So I need to work on that.
That's part of not feeling so alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think as far as different aspects and being more intentional, Bree and I were talking about this last night. Learn your friends' love languages.
Yeah.
That is such an important thing, because like what will help you connect with me won't be the same for Jada,
mm-hmm.
won't be the same for Bree. And that is just like the smallest little details mm-hmm. make the biggest difference in relationships. Seriously. Yeah.
That's the same with like the Enneagram test. Like, it's a personality. It's not like astrology or anything. It's like a personality test. Mm-hmm. So I can know, like, how can I connect? Literally every friend that I have at work, I made all of them take the test so that I can know how can I connect with them, how, what will make them feel comfortable. And
when you met me, you're like, you're, I don't remember what I am, but you knew it.
You're two.
And I took the test and I was.
What am I? Yeah, you're seven.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Cool.
Cool. It just helps you figure out, like, how can I connect with this person so I can get at a deeper level and understand them better.
See, I don't even need to take the test because you already know what I am. My life is a test, I guess. But I think another thing is making them a priority. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this farther up in the episode, but if your friend doesn't feel like they're important to you, they won't come to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they don't feel like you deeply care about them, mm-hmm. that's a tough thing. And that goes back to being present too. If you're not present in your relationships, but this is something I have to work on because, like I said, my mind's always running. So I'm always just like, go, 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 go. But like just being there for the conversation, be a listening ear. We talked about that. Just be present. Even if you're not present in person, be present in their life mm-hmm. from wherever you are, because mm-hmm. that's the beauty of Christian friendships in the church and just relationships in general now because of social media, phones, all that stuff. Anyway, you can be present without actually being present. Mm-hmm. Well, we're a little long-winded today. I say that I feel like every episode, but thank you for listening to us today. We love each and every one of you, and we would love to be your friend. We are your friend, actually. And we hope that we can help you feel less alone through this. And we hope that we have made you think, am I the friend that I need to be? Do I have the friends that I need to be, that I need to have in my life? Be sure to look us up on social media, sisters.podcast on Instagram, and our website is sisterspodcast.com. We love you all so much. Bye.